Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. I'm Reverend Maya, and I'm so excited to welcome you to our five-part series based on the work of Janet Geer in her book, Undivided Love, Navigating Landscapes of Living Faith. Her work has given our community insight into how different we are and how much we need each other. She reminds us that faith's first language is life. Let's dig in. Well, today's story is called The Transfiguration. The last Sunday of Ordinary Time before we begin Lent is often called around the church world Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration meaning a great change of form or appearance, a change that beautifies or glorifies or makes more spiritual. Something holy happened. This story is so important, it's found in three out of the four Gospels. It's almost the Super Bowl of stories. It's a mountaintop experience. It's bright and shiny, and I'm sure it has almost the feel of a marching band. The greats are there: Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. The disciples can't believe their eyes. They are surprised like we are at the end of every kind of game. They've known Jesus was unique and special. They've cheered him on and listened to him and heard reference to him as being the Son of God. For the disciples, even though they're afraid, they've made it. In fact, it puts a gold ring on their story and confirms who Jesus is and why they followed him. And their first instinct is to stay there on the mountain. Like when you've been to an amazing concert or sporting event and people keep standing there until there's an encore, or flooding the field, or participating in a parade after, or staying up all night not wanting that feeling to end. But they don't stay on the mountaintop, do they? They leave that holy ground and they keep following Jesus, eating together, learning, walking the harder roads, praying, healing, living in faith, glimpsing the mystery along the way as he drops clues of what might lie ahead, but them not totally understanding. Like we've been doing. Each week when we gather together, we gather in faith. And this window has been a reminder for us for the last 5 weeks that we glimpse our story of faith. We glimpse each other through the windows of our own lives. This table has been set with symbols that remind us of who's invited to this table. Because Christ has prepared a banquet for all of us. And by exploring this banquet of faith and seeing ourselves as all invited, we find ourselves on the same team, discovering the holy ground that is there whenever we meet, for God's life-giving Spirit is with us. Over the past four Sundays, Janet Geer's work, Undivided Love, Navigating Landscapes of Living Faith, has helped us realize that we are not on separate teams. It's opened us into conversation that reminds us we may actually be at the same game. Four different expressions of lived faith have met us. And if you're just arriving today, you can watch and catch up with those other four, or you may meet them living if you stay for coffee hour following the service. The first is embodied in this story that is almost a hint to us of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. The good news messengers of the evangelicals who are among us, telling the story of Jesus' hope. And then not the church building itself, but whenever the church gathers, we are the body of Christ. And we remember that in the sharing of the sacraments and the meal together. Those are the ecclesials who are amongst us. The missionals, the bowl and the towel, well, they remind us that we're called to love our neighbors as our children embodied in acts of meeting the suffering and needs of the world. And we remember them with the bowl and the towel. The ecumenicals are calling us to walk not just in hands-on help, but to turn the world upside down, to stand in the places where justice and peace need to be proclaimed. And so this candle has been on our table all the way through the season of Advent and now carrying us into Lent to remind us that peace in the world, particularly in Gaza, in Palestine, in Israel, is not yet known, and that our global partners who the ecumenicals call us to be in relationship with, they are asking us to not light this in solidarity until peace prevails. You may have found yourself in all of these stories, or you may be curious today if you're going to show up. Well, the praying hands are one of the symbols of the spirituals. In fact, there could be others that you might hear along the way. I want you to be inspired this morning by the faith of the spirituals who are the wisdom seekers, the pilgrims on the spiritual path of lived faith. And whether we recognize them in the symbol of the labyrinth or crosses from around the world where they have journeyed, they connect to the epiphany of the sacred in everyday life, that the holiness does not have to be experienced on the mountaintop, but in ordinary time. So whether one of these is your most natural expression of faith or not, or you're curious about the spirituals, know that the Spirit of God is alive in this space and owned not beyond all of the schemas that we talk about, calling us to good news, to Christian community, to compassion and justice and wonder, to feast in the friendship of shared faith. For we are on this journey together. And the spiritual meeting place with God is mystery and amazement. It is awe. They have found a profound sense of connection with the earth, and with the holy heart they sense in the wonder of life itself. They very literally meet God on the path of deeper and deeper awakenings to things that are seen and unseen. Their theological world covers the widest territory at our banquet. The lived faith practiced here includes both the most ancient spiritual practice and the most new. It is a stream connected to the deep and ancient roots of the Christian tradition, where the mystics have spoken, where the poets and the hymn writers meet us, and at the same time props the doors wide open for how Spirit is speaking in our world right now and seeking us. On one hand, the wisdom of the Christian mystic is rooted in this soil, and then also the wonder of our children who are seeing life anew. On the other hand, I also want you to know that there are those with no church experience whatsoever who are most often introduced to the Christian spiritual life because they come across this threshold and are curious about how we meet God. There is a breadth to this landscape of faith that when the spirituals are invited to the table, not only are they surprised that there are other people there, because often their journey has had them wandering and returning, but they are the most diverse around the table. The physicist, the poet, the jazz musician, the psychologist, the interreligious scholar, and the former Benedictine all potentially find their faith home here. Whether they are contemplatives or intellectuals, adventurers or artists and performers, the spiritual's faith has a reverence to it, an awe, a wonder, a profound trust in the sacred nature of reality, in the deep connection to the creative heart of the divine life. And so they are attuned to encountering the Spirit and noticing where God is moving. They may have been raised in sacramental tradition among the Catholics or the Anglicans who have an open heart to mystery. They most simply might feel that they're wired to notice life as holy ground. With or without such a language, the spirituals share that curiosity and creativity, and they make room for silence. In fact, the true honoring of the spirituals would be for me to save space from sermonizing and to make more space for silence and meditation and prayer today. If you're wondering if you've met a spiritual, well, I'm grateful to be in team ministry with a spiritual right across the aisle from me. and would invite you into deepening into that with the experience of meditation in the weeks ahead. But I want to just name a few things, because spirituals, well, we can be a little bit hard on them. They can often be characterized as pluralistic, not sure exactly about which way, and they can get into conflict, not immediate conversational conflict, but they can be accused of not being sure if they're stepping into the church or stepping out of it. There is an opposition sometimes for the ones who think they have the norms and the practices and the traditions just right, to be not sure about bringing other disciplines and perspectives into it. So today we use a wide angle lens to give thanks for the spirituals who push us, who make space to connect to God through the arts. You may hear them quietly when you say, "I wonder why you're here today," and people say, "I come for the music," knowing that the human heart seeks the beauty of God. They get the bonus then of singing the theology and learning language of faith, but the art and the beauty calls them closer to Creator. Or how about those who are spirituals that find there's no need to create art when we live in it? And so they spend their time more outside of these walls, paying attention to what God has created and getting closer to the beauty and the mystery that the psalmist writes and sings about. Praise of God in the glory of God's creation. Or as Barbara Brown Taylor says, there is an altar in the world. And then at that same table with the artists and the natural world connectors are the scientists. The faith lived as an adventure in reverent inquiry into the mechanics of the universe. Those who in their work and in their research and in their life have been pushed into the places of unknowing, of hypothesizing, of trusting in something more than just what they can prove. And then there are those who have connected to the deep religious teachings of the world, rooted in the Christian story, and yet seeing between East and West in the traditions a deep thread of the mystery that calls us to God. As Richard Rohr says, faith is fed where life is lived, and that life is a monastery without walls. People seated at this table are shocked to discover that they are the largest group in the church, that they're a little bit in conflict about what it means to be connected to the church, that there are things about our community and the norms of our faith that can edge them deeper into the church or coax them into leaving it behind. In fact, many who have been raised and deeply connected to this community now have not found their way back. There's lots of language about being churched or not churched, or being no faith or being done with faith. But the spirituals that we're talking about are not what you hear people say, "I'm spiritual but not religious," or they check that off on their forms. When we talk about the spirituals amongst us, they are deeply connected to what it means to be Christian, that they are within us, kind of pushing the edges of the tent, continuing to help the church to seek God, to be pilgrims on the journey, to loosen the grip on what we've known and be open to where Spirit is leading us next. They have, for many at the banquet, different names for God, and yet most often the name they share is prayer in the name of the Spirit, the third place of our Trinity. So when we're trying to capture the spirituals, pay attention to the expression of their lived faith, because it is connected to their interior life, to their practices, to their regular connection to tradition, to their acknowledging and awareness of the creation of the cosmos. They're on a journey. They're good questioners. And they're with us because they choose to be. They're helping us to reclaim some of those ancient spiritual practices, to redeem the times where we've been too caught up in the words and not in the experience of God. They share that with the evangelicals who have a lived experience of Christ. And though they might use different language, in fact, when they're at the table together, they might have more in common than they think. Because there is an awakening, a call to transformation, a call to something more than themselves. They're the questers. They are very deeply rooted to Jesus' call to follow me and the awareness that it was a movement and that it would take them to places where they never expected to know. And that on that journey, Jesus would ask them questions that would invite them to go deeper into who they are in order to be disciples and serve. Now, the thing about the other four is that it's easy to kind of see their lived faith. If you ask the question, what are the spirituals doing? You kind of hold them in relation to the other four. For the evangelicals are very clear that they're sharing Jesus. And the ecclesials are clear that they are being the church together. The missionals are helping their neighbors. And the ecumenicals are mending the world. But for the spirituals, it's not always about what they are doing, but how. In any of all of those things I've mentioned, you will find them serving. But they are doing it from a place deep within themselves of profound connection to God. It's born of much time spent exploring their own personal journey of faith and their awareness of their interdependence of all things and with God. It calls us back to our Celtic roots. And if you ask them to talk about their theology, you'll hear them stressing God's creativity above God's control. They are our contemplatives. They're a deep action at the heart of the Christian faith. And when James and I talk about getting ready for things, when he invites people into times of meditation and prayer or sitting, there's an invitation to try, just start with 10 minutes a day. If 10's hard, just start with 1 minute and see what it's like to spend time in the quiet, in the vulnerable, between you and God. But James will also remind me that unless you're too busy or stressed for that 20 minutes, then you probably need 40 minutes. The spirituals bring us the gifts of attentiveness, of sensitivity. They are our poets, our artists, our creatives. They are capable of seeing and navigating connections between things that are apparently so different. How could God be in the midst of it? Whether across cultures or faiths or disciplines or media, spirituals are self-aware and they are disciplined. It isn't an anything goes, let's try whatever comes our way. It's an invitation to practice. And that disciple connected to the word discipline. They are often contributing leadership to the church in many forms, offering spiritual formation, direction in relationship to our other partners in faith. They're in the places where they find spirit moving outside of these walls. They bring a curiosity and a suspension of judgment that allows us to be at the table together. And they take the moments to help us notice what we might have missed. When a ladybug lands on your shoulder in the midst of worship, they do not wipe it off. Their path leads them to a life of setting things down in order to have empty hands to embrace what the Spirit might be providing. And with that comes some generosity and joy. But there's a danger for the spirituals to pay attention to be tempted by the next thing that might be around the corner. In fact, they are caught up in our tension with individualism and consumerism in our culture, which can become a full closed loop circle to be trapped in. If I just do this one thing, then I'll be better or happier. They can confuse personal development with spiritual practice. And it can have them almost be too focused on self-absorbed, which is the inverse of the whole goal. The goal to go deeper, closer to the heart of God, so that you may be a vessel for the Spirit in the world. So the journey of the self can become a journey to the self, and it can be dangerous in that it can be elitist or egotist, because you can just focus on the things that you like. And the deep shadow of the spiritual is that people can find it to be narcissistic. This shadow, like all the rest, is when the core of the seeking of the heart of God comes undone. The opposite lives. For Jesus' message, which the spirituals know well, is in order to find your life, you must lose it. In order to seek the heart of God, you must let go of the things that get in the way. And so, although the spirituals find us in ordinary time, their antidote is the ecclesials, that they return to the community of faith on their journey. Because life in community holds up a mirror for us. It gives us, the spirituals, a place to be part of the healing of the world. For Jesus did not teach alone. He traveled with his disciples. There's nothing, it's easy to sing, love your neighbor and be kind, but then if you have to actually live together with real people for a time, it calls you into what that actually looks like and means. I'm a very good Christian sitting alone praying in my own room, but when we move back out into the world, we are tested in a way that Jesus knew life together was the way for the birth of the church. So the spiritual doesn't have to focus on perfecting themselves. They bring their spiritual practice into the oneness in community. For ecclesials share the body of Christ. The embodiment of love looks like you. It's not only Jesus who is beloved. You, as members of the body of Christ, in the breadth of the banquet, are the embodiment of love. And our spirituals attune us to the work of the Spirit amongst us. Thanks be to God. Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.